Thank you. test me, yeah, I know it. So I owe you my praise. You're the author of my story. When I thought that it was over, but your mercy kept me going. So I owe you my praise. Praises, oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all. So many reasons, you've given me so many reasons, I can't count them all, no, no. I know I'm far from finished, but your grace is still sufficient, and that's what makes the difference, so I owe you my praise. Now I'm standing here, forgiving, knowing life is worth the living. You're the God of new beginnings, so I owe you my praise. Sing it, church.
Praises, oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my
praises. Oh Lord, you deserve.
Only you deserve
all my praises.
Oh Lord, you deserve.
Oh Lord, you deserve.
Oh, Lord, you deserve.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Praises only you deserve. I'm going to give you everything because you bought me with a price and sacrificed everything. How great is that? How awesome is that? Good morning. It is Monday, ladies and gentlemen, November 25th, year of our Lord, 2024, and it wasn't 3 weeks ago that we witnessed a miracle that a lot of people did not think that we were going to witness, but it was only 3 weeks ago. He deserves all of our praise. Amen? Now, I know that there are miracles happening every single day, that in many ways are bigger miracles than what we experienced 3 weeks ago. So I'm not trying to overshadow any, you know, miracle of restoration of health. I'm not trying to overshadow any miracle of birth. But man, did God show up 3 weeks ago for people like us who were crying out to him in pain and discomfort because we were cheated. And he restored everything that was taken from us. And I'll never forget it. When I look back on this time in my life, when I explain this to my grandkids, that's how I'm going to explain it. I'm going to say, your grandpa, by then all of this will be white, not some of it, all of it. Your grandpa witnessed a miracle for our nation however many years ago. That's how I'm going to explain it, because it truly was. It truly was tens of thousands, if not millions of people turning to God, turning to Jesus when they felt the most oppressed, the most devastated when it comes to our nation, the security and the future of our nation. So don't forget that, folks. And when you see things that you think are impossible, or when you see things that you're not happy with, like a nominee that Donald Trump picks for his cabinet, I've seen so many people have discomfort over one or two nominees that really aren't going to have much power at all. And they're crumbling this weekend. Oh, it was all in vain. Oh. And I just smile and I say to myself, Lord, please help those people, because they know not what they do. They really don't. Look, we can all be upset about one or two things, little tiny things here and there. But ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, are we not happy today? Are we not joyful today? A, to wake up. B, to be a Christian. C, to have salvation. And D, are we not full of joy because of what we witnessed over the last 3 weeks? Turn to Christ. If you're one of those people out there today that are discouraged by anything, turn it to Christ. And I can tell you, my weekend was full of this kind of teaching to my children. Because we have children in our house that are just completely feel worthless. They feel like they have no worth, so they turn to sin to please the flesh rather than turning to Christ to please the soul. And they're teenagers. Of course they're going to. Of course they're not going to understand, you know, full repentance at that age. Some do, most don't. So my wife and I spent the weekend teaching and scolding and teaching and punishing, but teaching. That's our job. That's our job. So if you found yourself this weekend being upset over like some news that came out, put it to the side. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it in anymore, right? Let it go. Man, the amount of things that I've let go over the last month to 2 months is remarkable. Grammy Love, don't they realize their daddy is famous and they are loved? Daddy's not famous. Although it seems like everywhere we go, somebody watches LFA or heard of me and it feels that way and I can't get out of there fast enough. Today's show, Bottles of Water. What a weird title, huh? For today's show? You guys do me a favor. Make sure you're signed in. Make sure you're still following the page. We're almost to 100,000 followers. That's great. And let me read today's description, and then we'll get to the meat and potatoes of today's show. Rise Up, episode 479. I remember when water was out of the hose in the backyard. Remember that? Mom, I'm thirsty. Let me in. Then drink from the hose in the backyard. You're not coming in. Mom, come on, we're thirsty. There's a hose out back. Drink from the hose. You come inside, you're doing chores. You remember that? Remember that? Remember when your parents used to lock you outside or tell you, if you want to sit around the house, I'll find something for you to do, and then you were gone? Not like today, where children would rather stay in the house, even if you assign them 14 different chores, they would rather stay in the house than go outside to the sun. Right? You would think that our children were vampires nowadays. But remember those days? I do. Go outside, find something to do, or I'm going to find something to do for you. That is what my parents said to me. That's what my grandparents said. And if you were thirsty, boy, you drank out of the hose or you went to the brook, you went to the stream, the crick, the creek, whatever you called it. Some people call it a brook, some people call it a creek, some people call it a creek, some people call it a stream, whatever you want to call it. It was either drinking out of that or it was drinking out of the hose, period. That's probably why we have such great immune systems, because we were drinking bacteria-ridden water from some stream somewhere. That's why COVID didn't affect us as much as it affected some others. Those were the best days. Amen. Amen. Well, I remember drinking out of the hose in the backyard. But then overnight, I don't know if it felt that way for you, but it felt that way for me. Overnight, it seems that water made its way into little plastic bottles. And then it was for sale. And now we look at it as it's the best water around, right? We won't drink faucet water. We won't drink tap water because the government maybe put something in it. Maybe there's some disease in it. Maybe there's too much fluoride in it. We're going to go to the bottled water as if that's better. But for some reason, society looks at bottled water as it is the best water because it's put in little bottles and willing to pay for it a lot. Today, we're going to talk about the real value of that water inside that little plastic bottle. So please join me in sharing this stream so we can spread the gospel, not gossip, today. Okay? Let's go to prayer. First prayer of the week, right? Right here on Rise Up. Lord and Heavenly Father, how grateful, thankful, and appreciative we are to fellowship. Lord, there are people in this chat hurting today, down to their soul. They don't feel loved, they don't feel valued. They don't feel joy or happiness. Lord, help us change that in this hour today. Through Christ, all things are possible, and it can happen in the blink of an eye. Lord, please use me as a vessel to get your word out clearly in a transparent and easy to understand way. And Lord, help us bring a sense of value and worth to those individuals that are hurting today. We thank you. We repent of our sins. We humbly ask for forgiveness and course correction. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, hiccup there real quick. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning. Angry Hot Dog says, I'm cleaning the house. It's my day off. That's amazing. That is amazing. Good morning, Meemaw. Good morning, Veronica. Good morning, Ruth. Good morning, The One I Am. Good morning, Joanne EV and Jessica O'Brien. Good to see you all in here this morning. Good morning, Lolo. Hello, hello, hello. Amanda says, my car is out to be serviced. What a coinkydink. My truck is going to be serviced today as well. Oil change and brake pads, I think. Rachel says, I'm being forced to take a break and get ready for the holidays, I guess. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a blessing. That is a blessing, isn't it? Okay, let's start off today with two stories. Can we do that? Are we okay to have two stories before we get the show started today? Let's do that now. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was my sister's first day going to church. My sister, Crystal. Oh, she's in the chat. Look at that. I used to call her Mrs. Death because she loved Halloween. She got married on Halloween. It was her favorite holiday. She loved horror movies. And was always one step forward, two steps back in her life because of her attitude and who she surrounded herself with. Same as me. Same as me. And yesterday, she went to church service for the first time in her adult life. I couldn't have been more proud. She couldn't have been more happy to tell me all about it. She was asking me what to wear, when she should show up. And I couldn't be more happy for her. Joyful. To me, if I lost everything in life, but my family found their way to Christ, I'd live under a bridge like a troll for the rest of my life. That is how joyful that news made me. And she couldn't wait to tell me all about it this morning. And when I woke up this morning, I already had a message from her. Before I even got out of bed. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bring you to places in here that you never thought were possible. The Holy Spirit can bring joy to you that others cannot see. And they don't know where you're getting it from. And that right there is, I can show you better than I can tell you. Right? So that's the first story that I wanted to lead off with today. And just to bring testimonies of blessings and joy. And if she and I can find our way to Christ, then I promise you, you and your family can as well. No matter how far gone or how much in disbelief they are, I can promise you, we are living proof that God is calling those people. How great. How great. You know what I'm just reminded of? How great is our God. Say again, how great is our God. And all the world will know how great is our God. Right? How great is our God after that news? Now, big shout out to my sister. Second, not last night, but Saturday night, I woke up 2:49 a.m. to go to the bathroom because I'm old. And as always, took my phone. Actually, I don't take my phone to actually sit and look at my phone. Usually, I take it for light because it's dark in there and I don't want to trip over something. But if I have my phone and I go into the bathroom, you know, I'm probably going to look at it when I turn the light on in the bathroom. It's just habit. But I'm also kind of looking for messages at 3 a.m. from God as well. Well, boy, did I get one. At 2:49 a.m. Saturday night morning, I looked at my phone and you guys know that I'm back on Facebook now, but I don't really use Facebook, only for like work purposes or to promote like a sale we have on the store or something like that. And I opened up Facebook for whatever reason, and I don't even get notifications on Facebook. When I came back to Facebook, I gave Facebook zero permissions, like the least amount of permissions that you can give it to be on the app. Meaning that if I even need to post a picture, I have to go and do like four extra steps in order to get a picture posted because I did not give Facebook permission to go through my camera roll. Okay? And so I opened up Facebook, no notification, just for whatever reason. And do you want to know the first thing that I saw on the top of the feed? I didn't even belong to the group. So where I live in Iowa, it's called the Quad Cities. because there's two cities in Illinois, two cities in Iowa that all kind of work together to prosper and to grow. So they call it the Quad Cities, the QC. And when I opened it up, the first thing that I saw was a post in a group that I do not belong in. I mean, I didn't belong to, I should say, not belong in. I didn't join this group. And it was Quad Cities Helping Others. And it happened to be a post from a mother who is living week by week in a very, very rundown motel with children, no money, no transportation to get anywhere, no father. And literally scraping together anything that they can get, whether it's state help or whatever, in order to stay in this motel week to week. But so little do they get, apparently, that they don't know if they're going to be there the week after. So they don't. There's no decoration or anything like that in their motel room. And in this group, it's people asking for help, kind of like our Slurp Fund. And this woman, very humbly, you could tell she didn't want to ask, but very courageously asked if anybody could help in bringing them a prepared meal for Thanksgiving. And the reason why she said prepared is because in this motel, they don't have adequate cooking. They only have like a toaster oven. And I could not believe what I saw in the reaction section. People were laughing at her. And there's some people that are just downright mean. You put yourself in that position, begging for help, begging for a prepared meal. And the reason why people were saying that was because in the comment section, people were very nice there saying, this church or this facility or even my home is open to you on that day for free Thanksgiving meals. But she kept saying, I really appreciate that, but we have no transportation either. And if we do go to a church to get food, we don't have any way to cook it. And I couldn't believe some of the comments in that thread. So I reached out to her. And I said, has anybody reached out to you from the group to offer help? She said, people have reached out, but then we never hear from them again. So basically, me and my family are, you're going to be without a meal on Thanksgiving. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I spoke to the kids yesterday and my wife early in the morning having coffee. And I said, each of us are going to make something. We're going to spend the day before Thanksgiving together. And each of us are going to make something. And before we go to my father's on Thanksgiving, we are going to bring them a meal. I can't afford a dinner this year, says FL girl. Been selling stuff to make money or to make it till I get my check on the first. No. FL girl, please message us at lfaproducer@gmail.com. That's lfaproducer@gmail.com. We're going to overnight you enough money to get yourself a dinner. It's not going to happen. Okay? Then I started scrolling through that group. And the amount of people that are down and out is mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the same boat. Now, my wife and I are not well off by any means, but we're living better than we did 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we didn't have enough money for Thanksgiving either. And I'll never forget. I will never forget. We had a knock on the door. And it was an old man from church named Bob. Bob's missing a couple fingers. You guys, thank you for the donations. We're going to make sure that goes to the right place. And it was anonymous, but we found out who it was. He said it was from somebody at church. It was from him. My wife's outside, taking my truck to the service garage for me, like a good wife. But I'll never forget, Bob had spent about $400 and filled our cupboards and our cabinets. Now, at this time, we were going to the food pantry, the homeless shelter, and churches to try to fill our cabinets with food. And that's just what we had to do. And I will never forget that day. I cried for hours. Because we prayed to make sure that we had a Thanksgiving dinner for the kids. And our prayers were answered. So, long story short, it wasn't long ago that we were there. And chances are we could be there again any day. And we're okay with it. But until that day happens, we're going to do everything we can with what God blesses us with to do that for others too. And I think if all of us do that, look at all the money that's being raised, guys. Guys, you are incredible. I wasn't telling you that story to get donations. I wasn't. But look at how God is weighing on your hearts. FL Girl, we're going to make sure that you and others who need it are going to have a Thanksgiving dinner. It's so easy to help others. It really is. And it will make you feel better than anything that you've ever, any time in your life. You guys are wonderful. Thank you for the donations for people. FL Girl, you email him right away with your address and your name, and we'll get it out to you immediately. So you have money to go and get a dinner and stop selling stuff. Okay? I want to talk about water today. I want to talk about water that is in a bottle today. But before we do, I'd like you guys to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to go to Verse 20. Wow, you guys are wonderful. I'm going to be able to help so many people with that, with all those donations. We're not only going to be able to help FL Girl, but we're going to be able to help this woman here in the Quad Cities and others with that money that you guys donated. We're not going to let people feel that way. Because what that does is the devil plays off that, makes you feel worthless. And we're not going to let that happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Let's pull it up. Right here. See this right here, folks? I'll highlight it. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bond servant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bond servant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. And this part right here, folks, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. What is that saying? That's saying that God made you to be you. I remember, you guys are great with the donations. Flower, thank you. Conserve Q, thank you so much. We're going to make sure it gets in the right hands, okay? I remember making the transition from non-believer to believer, one of the biggest hurdles was, I don't want to change who I am. I don't want to be somebody else. I like the fact that I am who I am. And I feel like if I become this Christian person, then I don't get to be who I am. And it was a hurdle until I realized that God doesn't change who you are. He changes your heart's desires. I'm still the outgoing comic performer, entertainer, loving kind of guy. I just don't have those sinful desires as I used to have. So when God calls you, he's calling you because of the condition that you're in and who you are. Who you are doesn't change. The conditions in which you're in change, but you don't change. Only your heart's desires. You're still you. You're still Eli. You're still Danes. You're still Bad Moon. You're still Amanda. But your surroundings change. Your desires change. Where you hang out changes. Who you hang out with changes. Your decision-making changes, but you still get to be you. That's the condition that God called you in. Again, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, right? So now let's get to bottles of water. Okay? Got my notes here. A bottle of water is $1 at the store. Right? That same bottle of water is $2 at the gym. That same bottle of water that we just talked about. Thank you, JV. Thank you so much. That same bottle of water that was $1 at the store and $2 at the gym is $4 at the airport. Again, that same bottle of water is $6 to $7 at a baseball game, a football game, or a concert. Same water, different price tag. Why? It isn't about the water at all. The water, you, is what you are. Conserve Q, you are who you are. Majorva, Bad Moon, Antlob, Rosebud, you all are who you are. Again, it isn't about the water at all. It's about where the water is at. What location, in what setting? When you feel like people are not seeing your value or your worth, maybe it's because you're down on your luck. Maybe it's because you're homeless. Maybe it's because you can't feed your family. It isn't because you're worthless at all. It's because you are in the wrong spot. That's it. Maybe you're not in the right crowd of people. Maybe you're stuck in a place that isn't built to recognize what you bring to the table or what God is calling you to do. Next time you feel this way, or you feel underestimated by everyone around you, simply stop doubting your worth. Ask yourself, where am I standing right now? Because if a bottle of water can change its value by merely switching its location and its surroundings, imagine what happens when you put yourself in the right place with the right people and you stop settling. Imagine your worth if you surround yourself with God-fearing people who are helping you on your journey with Jesus. Imagine what your worth is when you are kneeling down by yourself in a motel room, in a closet, in a bathroom, and you are speaking with the Almighty Creator Himself. Imagine your worth then. Find where your value matches your destiny and your ambition. Thank you, Nanetta, and thank you, BJ Mag. Thank you so much. Don't waste time trying to explain things to people who don't have the vision to see it or the willingness to listen and understand what you're saying and where you're going. Keep it moving. Sometimes you have to leave everything behind to level up and to further your journey with Jesus. That's the message today. Know your worth. And your worth does not come from man, and your worth does not come from family members, and your worth does not come from this world or this society. Your worth comes from God. And just because you might be stuck in a motel not being able to feed your family, or God has blessed you with a mansion, money or the lack thereof does not hold any value on your worth. You're worth more than all the money in this planet combined anyway. And rich people are not happy. They might do more. They might be able to create more exotic memories. But let me just tell you this. When I look back on the things that I remember most, it wasn't the times that God blessed me with money or with things. It was the times that God blessed me when I had nothing. It is spending time with my daughters or my sons or my wife. It is moments like yesterday when my sister went to church for the very first time. No memory that I have is based in or on the money that I had at that moment. Hair on my nose there. And believe me, I've had a couple really good jobs. I've had a couple really good paying jobs. Value is dependent on your relationship with the Lord and the location that you put yourself in. And that's it. It's that simple. I can be just as happy living in a motel as I could be living in a mansion. That should have been the name of the show today, Motels and Mansions, right? It's a good, that's a good show name. Motels and Mansions. Isaiah 43, 3 and 4 says, I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. I would trade the creation just for you. Feel worthless now? God said that. Not a boss, not a friend, not a coworker, not a family member. God said that in Isaiah. We have been given life so that we may enjoy it. It is a gift from God. When we pursue God and a deeper knowledge of His will, we are seeking a deeper understanding of all creation. FL Girl, thank you so very much. When was the last time you told somebody, I thank God for you? Because when we drop this food off to this family, that's exactly what I'm going to say. I thank God for you. The Apostle Paul regularly expressed his gratitude for his friends in letters. It seems that the more Paul suffered, he was jailed, shipwrecked, and beaten, the more his letters dripped with thanksgiving. He thanked God for those who stood with him. He thanked God for those who served alongside him. And most of all, he thanked God for those who had come to faith in Christ through his ministry. My sister, ladies and gentlemen, it is Comfort Monday. We start off the week right. So please join me in having a little comfort this morning with Ray Comfort. Here we go.
I need to ask your permission. Muhammad, can I permission to interview you for YouTube and for all media purposes?
Yeah, sure.
Now, you're Muslim.
Right.
You believe in heaven and hell?
These are quick questions, but yeah, definitely think about it.
You think about it? Where are you going when you die?
Where am I going where I die?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It depends on how much good I do starting now.
This is a massive mistake that most Muslims make. And not only Muslims, but most religions think they can balance the scales by doing religious works or good works. That's why the law must be expounded to show them the perfect righteousness that God requires. How much good do you have to do to make it to heaven?
It's not like a specific answer. You just do what you can, do your best, you know?
So help one lady across the road and I'm there. I've earned everlasting life, is that right?
Look, it's not as simple or complicated. Just do the best you can, you'll feel it. It's not really like you help one person and then you go kill somebody. You go, just do your best.
So what angers God?
What?
What angers God?
What anger is God?
Yeah, does God get angry at evil?
Does he get angry? Everybody goes through trials and tribulations, so you could, in a sense, say that you get punished.
So is he angry at murderers that got away with murder? Only 50% of homicides get brought to justice in the U.S. That means out of every 1,000 people that are murdered, 500 get away scot-free. Strangle someone to death, cut up their body, put it down the drain with acid. No body, no conviction. What does God think of that?
What does God think of that? That's an interesting question, because I haven't talked to him yet. But, I mean, it doesn't make me happy. I'm sure he's not happy about it, but...
Well, say it was your mother, would you say that doesn't make me happy? Would that bring some passion into it? If your mother got strangled to death, would you be angry?
Okay, I mean, you might want to save your dog.
Oh, here's another one.
Sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, would you be passionate if your mother got murdered? Would you be angry?
Would I be passionate? I mean, I'd be going through a lot of things.
I definitely
have some emotions going.
Do you ever read the Bible?
I've looked at it. I've read it.
Yeah, it says that God is angry at sinners every day because of sin. You know, we live in Los Angeles. Do you think it's a beautiful day and smogless today?
Do I think it's a beautiful day? It looks very nice.
Yeah, you get up in a plane and you'll see we're breathing in poison. Every city looks clean when you're in it, but when you get above it, then you realize that things aren't as clean as what you thought.
Maybe we should do something about it.
Yeah, we should do something about it, but the analogy is sin. We all think we're good people, but when we look at it from God's point of view, we're not as good as what we thought. You're a Muslim. What do you think of the Ten Commandments?
What do I think of the Ten Commandments? I mean, I've read it walking by a church. They seem like... Look, you'd have to tell me them again.
Okay, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No, that's not a good idea.
No. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I mean, look, I go to college. Of course I have. Like, definitely. There's no lying about that. But it's... You should... Exactly. But look, at the same time, you should definitely control it. You should just be mindful of your reactions, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world possible if you look at somebody, right? But just be respectful.
When'd you last look at pornography?
High school, but I don't watch it anymore.
Well, that's looking with lust.
It's not good. It's not good because it...
It gives pleasure.
Yeah, right. Everybody knows it. It gives pleasure. It's a bad habit.
What about the ninth commandment? You shall not lie. How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
Ever stolen something?
I have.
Ever used God's name in vain?
How would that happen? Give me an example. I'm just asking.
I'm not going to blaspheme as an example, but you know what I mean. OMG, using God's name without due respect.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called blasphemy. Very, very serious. Have you ever hated someone? Okay, Muhammad, the Bible says, he who hates his brother is a murderer. So here's the summation of your court case on Judgment Day. I'm not judging you, but you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart who's committed murder of the heart. So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, which are written on your heart via your conscience, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
In this scenario, I would definitely be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Seems like it'd be hell.
How does that concern you?
No, because I do my best to tip the scale the other way.
How do you do that? How do you make up for lust?
It's not like an algebra problem where, like, you do something bad, you do something wrong. Like I said, you do your best.
Well, take that to a court of law, because that's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. We're going to stand before God. We're guilty. His law accuses us, that moral law. If you say to the judge, I've broken the law, but I try to do good to even the scales. I do good things. He's going to say, what are you talking about? This is a court of law. I don't judge you on the good you've done. I judge you on the crimes you've committed. And Muhammad, it's the same with God. If you die in your sins, you'll end up in hell. I'd hate that to happen to you. The Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. That grieves me. Now, have you ever heard the gospel?
Well, I guess I got to go to your church then.
No, I haven't got a church. I go to a church, but I don't want you to come to my church.
You need to give me the address. I guess I have to come now.
No, you don't. Have you ever heard the gospel?
As in choir at church?
No. The gospel means good news. And the good news is...
I've heard good news before.
Yeah, well, this is the good news. God himself became a human being 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus and gave his life on the cross. And you have heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Right.
Most people know that, but they don't know this. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus came and paid the fine. That's what happened on the cross. If you're in court... If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, if someone else pays them, a judge will legally let you go even though you're guilty. You'll say, these fines have been paid by someone else, you can leave. Well, God says he can let us leave on Judgment Day. He can take the death sentence off us because Jesus paid the fine in full on the cross. He evened the scales. He justifies us through his death and resurrection. And all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins. You know what repentance is? Turn from sin. And then trust in Jesus.
I did that this morning.
You did?
We have to pray 5 times a day.
Okay. So. Repentance, and then you put your faith in Jesus. And the second you do that, God will remit your sins in an instant because he balanced the scales. He took the punishment for our sins. At the moment, Muhammad, you're like a man who's going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet. Hasn't got a parachute, but this is his plan. He's going to flap his arms and try and save himself. And you and I'd say, don't do that. It's not going to work. Just trust the parachute. So don't try and save yourself on Judgment Day. It's not going to work. You're a sinner like the rest of us. Just transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior. Just transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior. And the minute you do that, you've got God's promise he'll grant you.
I think they want some saving too.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to be distracted. This is so important.
I'm listening to every part of you.
Okay. Yeah. If you just transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior, the moment you do that, you've got God's promise, and he cannot lie. He'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Is this making sense?
I feel like it'd just be helpful if we just had the conversation. Like, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
The camera, the face is kind of a little bit too much, but I understand the intention.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at.
Are you going to think about this?
I think about it all the time.
Oh, I appreciate that. Can I give you a book that I've written?
A book? Sure, I will take it.
I'll be real quick.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for not butting in, man. I appreciate it. Let me explain what that was about. There was a young student standing by my bike, and I recognized him as a young man who was very anti-Christian, an atheist, and he would often follow me around, and when he saw me interviewing people, go up and warn them not to do the interview. In fact, he would stop interviews. He would wreck the interview because he didn't like what I was doing, and he was standing here while I was talking to Muhammad, and I was very grateful that he didn't do that. I've showed him so much kindness, giving him so many in-and-out cards over the last month or so. It seems to have softened his heart. Thank you for not butting in. That was very kind of you.
Actually, I did butt in once.
Yeah. This is a book called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and you'll really enjoy it. And this is another little booklet called Save Yourself Some Pain. Real quick, here are three things to help.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you notice how Ray does not allow himself to get distracted? Maybe, just maybe. Maybe, just maybe, we can copy that and not be distracted by things that are trying to keep us from Jesus. Amen? And remember, if you feel like you're only a $1 bottle of water today, switch your surroundings. And you can be an invaluable river of living waters. Don't confine yourself to a Bible. I mean a bottle. Confine yourself to the Bible, not a bottle. That's what I meant to say. I love you guys so much. I want to thank everybody who donated to help people out. As always, we will make sure that money gets in the hands that it is needed. Like when we sent out the electric bill last week for another LFA family member. Osborne NH. Or Osborne H. All right, guys. Love you all. Mike Crispy starts here on LFA TV right now, followed by Live from America. I'll see you then. God bless you guys. Have a great morning. See you later.